our inner life, our mind or heart, our inner life, is like an ecosystem. And after maybe becoming an adult and years of being a certain way, it reaches a certain kind of ecological balance in there. And all the different factors. But sometimes that balance that it finds is not necessarily a healthy one. And the wonderful thing about an ecosystem, or terrible thing, depending what happens, is that you add one element to the ecosystem and all the other elements have to shift and change. You know, so if you add an invasive weed, then it might take over all the other native grasses, and then there are no native grasses for the native deer to eat, and so the deer population goes down, which causes the mountain lion population to go down, which allows the developers to come in. Then you have high rises put up there. You know, so you know, simple change can allow things to, you know. So the same thing with the mind. And you can bring healthy things into the mind to help create healthy ecosystem in there. And a very radical thing, you know, for the mind's ecosystem, you know, is mindfulness and investigation. Just to investigate, you know, what is this? What is this experience? If you're angry or frustrated or sad or afraid, you can create a certain kind of ecosystem. But that whole ecosystem has to shift and change if you bring investigation. What is this experience like? What is it to be afraid? What is it to be angry? What is it to be happy? Look, you know, okay. And so, you know, it's like you're not caught in the system. You're brought in a new element that kind of causes everything to shift and become more fluid and open. It's really profound to bring investigation into our experience. Someone comes in to where you're meditating late and they slam the door. And you could, of course, say, yeah, that terrible person, they should ban that person from meditation from ever. You know, why don't these Buddhists have excommunication? You know, and you can kind of go off in the mind, can go off like that. Or you can say, oh, what's going on here? What's my experience like here? What's happening here for me? Oh, I'm frustrated, I'm angry, I'm judgmental. It changes the whole nature of the whole ecosystem by engaging it with investigation. And as we investigate, there are two general areas to investigate. There's the objective experience and the subjective experience. So if you're just investigating closely the breath, the details of the breath, there's actually phenomenal, you can actually be aware of tremendous details in the texture, the qualities of each in-breath, if you really pay a lot of careful attention. And that's the objective world, the objective experience of the breath, the sensations there. And then there's a subjective sense of the mind state, the quality of the mind, the quality of being that is engaging the present moment that's here now. So what's it like feeling subjectively? So subjectively, what's it like to be practicing mindfulness? Oh, the way I'm holding the mindfulness practice is I'm holding it like a lifesaver. I'm holding on desperately for dear life. I've got to be mindful. Or I'm holding it on reluctantly. One more person is telling me what I should do. I should be mindful. I can't stand. People should leave me alone. You know, so there's a kind of reactivity to the being mindful. So there's a quality of that mind that's holding, you know, the practice or that's present for you. So there's a subjective state to investigate that. And that's a very important thing to add to the ecosystem, because then the quality of the mind, the mind state, the qualities in the mind don't operate kind of in the dark, you know, don't operate kind of hidden from view. But you bring them clearly into the light, into the view, and then the way that which we relate to them, the way they relate to us, shifts and changes. We're not caught by them, they don't necessarily influence us so strongly, because we really see them. Oh, this is what's going on. I'm being judgmental. Or I'm judging myself as, I can't do this. This is really hard. You can believe that and run out of here. Or you can say, oh, look at that. I'm supposed to investigate, now I can investigate. Oh, there's a judgment about myself and how it's going, and I'm interpreting that really seriously. I'm taking it really seriously. There's a sense of seriousness. I believe it. And there's a sense of wanting to just escape because it's so uncomfortable. And to see all that is very different than being caught in it. So investigation is really a beautiful quality, and it's something to value and to learn how to use. So all these qualities of awakening is not something you have to kind of know and understand immediately, but it's something that you can kind of begin getting a sense of and then begin learning how to incorporate and develop into your life and into your practice. And for today, one of the qualities of mind or attitudes of mind that you can have is that you're supposed to experience what I'm saying in some beautiful, pristine, perfect way. And because you're not doing that, today's a failure. That's, you know, one option. Another option, which I would recommend, is just be present, do the best you can, take it all in, and just let just the ideas kind of begin percolating in their own way, and kind of by osmosis begin getting a sense. So this is a really important quality in Buddhism. Buddha really emphasizes this. So let me just kind of take this in the best I can, and even if it's just idea, just the sense of an idea, having an idea, you know, investigation, that's good enough. Don't ride your subjective state, your meditative state, so close it has to be a certain way, it has to attain something. It's nice if it happens, but that's just another thing to investigate. Look, I'm holding it this way. I didn't realize I was holding my meditation this way. I was trying to, you know, by noon today I'm supposed to be in the third samadhi. So be at ease with how things are, and then investigate. So now, before we take our little break, or whatever, walking meditation, if you could all stand. And perhaps if you want, you can, if it's easy enough, close your eyes or have your eyes pointing down. And now that you're standing rather than sitting, get a sense from the inside of how the energy, the blood, the tensions of your body shifts and changes from having sat. And feel the soles of your feet, the weight of your body, the solidity of the floor, and the solidity of your body going up through your legs. And then see if you can have a sense of presence. Here you are, like you're present for someone. You're really here. Here you are. You count. You're important. Unapologetically, just here, present in your body. Physical, postural kind of presence. And in cultivating presence in your posture, in your body now, see, do a little experiment and see if ever so teeny bit, slightly, you can have the weight of your body go back a little bit so it's more in your heels or more solidly kind of on your whole base of your foot. And see where the weight should be, where, so you feel the most sense of being present. Here you are, grounded, present. And perhaps there's something about having contact with the ground, with the floor or the ground, and letting your sense of posture and presence and weight and kind of come from the bottom up. Or letting your weight kind of be aware of how the weight goes down into your feet. They will help you be present. And then as you lose that physical sense of embodiment and groundedness, chances are you'll lose your presence, your mindfulness. And so we'll start again in a few minutes.